Hey, good afternoon. I can't hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Shut up, Bill. You're joining We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan. I will be actually doing the Marge Simpson imitation today.
Yep, she's Marge today.
I could say I was Phyllis Diller, but people don't know who she is anymore. Someone said I sounded like Marlene Dietrich. I'm like, oh, that's even farther away.
I'd go for Ethel Merman.
No, that was when I was a kid.
Okay.
All right, so my snappy sidekick is...
Bill Cundiff.
And our sponsor...
I just wanted to hear you say it. Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. John Deere Kubota Tractor Dealer in Shasta Lake City. The folks up there will give you a great deal on a tractor. Service, parts, they got it all going on up there. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard. Or you can reach them at 226-9226 or get them on the web at readingtractors.com. They got an awesome website. Go check it out. You can get pricing, financing. Everything is right there. Just go check it out.
But just don't mow when it's really hot out.
Yeah, don't mow. Mowers, please don't mow when it's hot out. They're out of commission for at least a couple of months yet.
Unless you want to get up at the crack of dawn or you actually have a lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't mow weeds and rocks.
Or you don't like your neighbor and you want to burn his house down, because that's what's going to happen.
But the way that always works is you burn your own house down.
Yeah, that's right.
So
who's our guest today?
And, you know, it kind of occurred to me, I kind of mention it, but I don't really say anything. You know, we have archives that go back to, like, 2010.
Yeah.
We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And they are all, you can listen to them free of charge. You can download them. They're MP3 files. And all the commercial breaks are taken out, so that makes it a little faster to listen to.
That makes them commercial free.
They're like free and commercial free.
Oh, and more free.
Well, a lot of archive.
You're going to get sick of free. You're going to say, please stop making everything free.
Winning.
Yeah.
Well, the funny part is a lot of shows, I didn't know this, but I guess they charge for their archives. So apparently it's a potential fundraising opportunity that we're missing out on. But that's okay, because that's not why we're doing the show. Obviously, if you listen to the disclaimer, we're doing it just in case, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're probably going to say something bad.
Stay tuned. You can find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. That also has our contact information if you'd like to shoot guests our way, or you have ideas or whatever and you want to call or email. Phone numbers and emails are there for you.
There you are.
Swiftly, we're talking about immigration today. We have the 30,000-foot view with our guest Bruce Moran in the first hour, and then we will have an in-studio guest for the second hour, and he is a nice young man who came here on a student visa, whose visa is expiring, and he's actually going home.
Yeah.
Huh.
What's the matter with him?
I know. He's like the one and only. I thought we better interview him.
This kid doesn't get it.
He's a really nice young guy. I just thought people should hear his story, because he's a good kid. And he's really the kind of, you know, when people talk about immigration, this is the story that we want here.
It's also the story you never hear.
It is also the story that we don't hear. You're right. So. Mr. Moran has given us a tremendous amount of information today to cover. There's no possible way we'll cover it all unless he talks like grease lightning, and he is from Chicago, so
you can follow along on the website. The website has most of it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
WeThePeopleRadio.us. So, Bruce Moran is a senior national security advisor who focuses on strategic planning for national security issues, and he is with Security Solutions Technologies. All right, Bruce. Take it away.
Yeah, what do you know about immigration, Bruce? Hello? Uh-oh.
Oh, Bruce is in the cone of silence.
Bruce? Uh-oh.
Bruce is never tongue-tied, so I know that didn't happen.
Did we dial the wrong shoe phone?
Hello?
Hey, there he is.
Oh, I've been here.
Oh, you must have been talking on the wrong shoe.
I said I'd be Johnny Carson for the fill-in, but I just didn't hear that one.
No, we didn't hear that one.
Or Carnick the Magnificent.
Yeah, we got a terrible connection,
there,
Bruce.
Yes, can you folks get back to me?
Yep.
Call me back, and then I'll pick up.
We will call you.
Yeah, that was.
That's why I wrote your number on this handy dandy post-it note.
Yeah, there was a reason for that. That was bad. That
it sounded like
it was Don Knotts. No,
it was like he was on a train track.
Yeah.
Oh, he was tied to the tracks.
Uh oh.
I'll save you.
I'll save you.
It's just sad.
It is.
So let's see. So I can tell you the rest of the stuff. Do the Muttley laugh. I'm going to be doing the Muttley laugh all day today. Don't make me do the Muttley cough.
Have another cigarette, Marge.
Good thing I never smoked. As a consultant, Bruce has worked with public officials, U.S. government committees, departments, agencies, think tanks, and corporations. He works on special national security projects and defines clear hands-on working solutions for crisis preparedness and crisis readiness scenarios.
There you go.
And now we're back to Bruce, who's maybe not tied to the train tracks anymore.
No, here we are.
Yeah, there you go. That's a little better.
Kind of tied to the train tracks, but...
A lot of better.
All right. Fire away.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing the last couple of weeks with what we see going on in the media and constant high-pitched emotions that are going on with the border, the immigration, and with the children. So I wrote a few things. There was a Supreme Court ruling, as you know. And what I saw is probably the most important part of the Supreme Court ruling was that it designated foreign nationals to not have constitutional rights to entry.
Well, that's no...
That kind of sets the tone for the way the president can make his decision regarding how they're looking at people entering the country.
Well, do you think anybody was really surprised by that?
Before, he had selected countries that could not identify how the people were going to be vetted into the United States. So those countries are the one he had selected. And then, as you saw, it was Hawaii versus the United States it was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. So those kind of things are part and parcel to the big problems President Trump had faced when people were pushing back on him as obstructionists so he could execute his right as president. And one of the things I was looking at as you saw in the talking points, was foreign nationals and their ability to, you know, become United States citizens through asylum and to refugee status. And what I was looking at is how it's being done today and how Congress should act in order to be simply straightforward and to the point and making sure each and every one comes through an official port of entry.
And that's no different than it's ever been, but it just seems like in the last few years, all you hear about are the ones that come in illegally.
That's right.
And they still get...
But, I mean, it's the official so-called rule of law, but nobody's following it because as you look at Arizona, there's a 60-mile patch, Rio Grande, you have another area, California borders, you know. Everybody's coming across illegally. So when President Trump says you need to build a wall, you actually really do need to build a wall and proper fencing to and boating and, you know, guards and, you know, support to make sure that the criminal elements aren't coming through. And we have MS-13, as you know, he's cracked down on, and we also have the drug cartels that are infiltrating the refugees and the asylum seekers. So, you know, how we go about this should be pretty straightforward. If you are trying to circumvent or undermine or usurp the U.S. border security system, you're not going to get any asylum or refugee status. It should be straightforward that way.
Well, yeah, if you come in illegally, then you should forfeit your right to due process at that point. You're illegal. So,
that's right.
I mean, you got to come in through the port's entry.
Really addressed in such a straightforward manner. Because they're all here, and then they end up in a court system, and some are separated from their kids, some don't have kids, and then they have to come back within so many days. But how many actually do come back, you know? And that is the, you know, pivotal point in what President Trump is suggesting here.
But isn't...
We have to have a system that works, a system that's straightforward and transparent, and the people can't game. People know how to game the system before they get into the United States.
Well,
I'm not talking about just coming across the border illegal. They know what to do, how to get in, and then what to do once they're inside, how to game the system. So we have a problem in addressing the illegal aliens, or you want to call them immigrants. That's a problem in and of itself. And enforcement is one. As you look, you know, as we go further down,
but so take a really quick break, Bruce, and then
being harassed, intimidated, and it's not only them; it's been
hold on to that thought, and we've got to take a really quick break, and we are going to come right back with our guest, Bruce Moran. We're discussing immigration today, and you're listening to We the People Radio. Today. Just want you to know Bill didn't help me. He was supposed to, and
I'm
he didn't help
on
me.
That one. I had nothing to do with the music.
All right, so now that we have you in an unair-conditioned room, we're very sorry. But it's
I think what we're looking at is a new dawn of hyperbolic policymaking that's creating a lot of discord with people who belong to various parties, and as we're looking at what's happening with the immigration issue, that kind of situation is just way out of hand if they're intimidating border security personnel, agents. That kind of thing should be brought to American people's attention at every station and saying, these are the things you can do, and these are the things you cannot do. If somebody in Congress is starting to make incendiary remarks and people are taking and looking where these people live because they're all registered, you know, agents or people who work for Border Security or Secret Service or FBI, and they have a beef, a personal beef, it has nothing to do with the government worker themselves. The government worker is just doing their job. They have a beef with the government. And that kind of issue should not be taken up personally on people doing their jobs. This is ridiculous, and their families. Just think what a little kid would do. They're worried about the kids that are coming across the border, but every border security person comes from a family. They may have kids. You know, they have a mother and a father and kids. So how I feel personally about this, this is way out of hand and should be addressed.
Well, so the part that they seem to,
you know, taking sides, and the people in the government have to be protected.
Sure.
Some of them are my friends, as you know, and we work on national security. We're talking about across the board, foreign and domestic, and this is ridiculous.
No.
I just don't get it, how disrespectful people are now and how high-minded they are to think they could just go up to anybody and, irrespective of them being government agents, just rail on them. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong.
No, it's everybody's doing it now. It's almost like it's a new game in town. Is find somebody that works for Border Patrol or FBI or even your congressional staffers are getting hassled
But it's interesting because I think that that Supreme Court ruling, you know, we don't want to gloss over this that just came out. And you had put a note in here, foreign nationals seeking admission have no constitutional right to entry.
Right.
I mean, these are not American citizens.
And how about if they're the ones who are doing the harassment, the intimidation?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty bold. Yeah.
It's even way out of hand.
Yeah.
They think if they're doing something and they have a privilege, they're dead wrong. And I think it should start ticking Americans off that this kind of thing is happening in our own country, and it's getting to the point where we're losing control of respect and common civil understanding of how people should be treated on the street. I mean, or in a restaurant, or if you're going shopping, anywhere.
Right.
This is not proper and fitting at all. There's a certain disrespect and certain quality of life that has to be upheld. And that's what America's about. And that's the American dream. If they're trash dream for their own political ideology and they think it's going to be what they want and that way only, that's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely not right. They're infringing on other people's rights. They're discriminating against other people. Federal employees, you got to give me a break. You know, this is totally absurd and outrageous. So, I mean, that's where I stand on it, because those are also my friends. But, I mean, if you look at the way police have been treated, it's the same way.
Yeah.
And, you know, even now it's fire people. They may have programs on it. They're making them heroes. But on the street, you know, you go into the cities and they're being shot at. They're being discriminated against. You know, they can't get to their job sometimes. So
those
are the kind of things we need to really take a close look at in the civil understanding of how order needs to be made. Civil order has to be upheld and respected.
But you know, Bruce, it gets back. I mean, it goes back further than that. At least I believe when you allow illegals to have a driver's license, to register to college and get special rates, you make it okay to be here. Now you have given them rights.
Yeah, you've made it okay.
You've made it okay now for them to stand up and protest the inequality of them being here. I think that's where it all kind of started.
Yeah, when you can sneak into somebody's country and then demand they treat you better than their own citizens,
yeah,
that's pretty gutsy.
I mean, well, we allowed them to stay, though, and that's, I think, where the problem started was by allowing them to stay and then giving them status. Now you've got to address their grievances. You know, where does that stop? I mean, do you agree with me on that, Bruce?
I'm agreeing with you, and then I have to step back and say, why are they giving that platform in the first place?
Right.
Who is giving them that platform to do that? They're taking a platform which shouldn't be there in the first place.
That's right.
They should be respectful. They should be dignified. And if they have something they want to address, go through the system, not go outside the system. And, I mean, they have a right to protest, right? I mean, that's everybody does. But they've gone over the rails, and they violated the right to be a citizen by coming here illegally. And then, for some outrageous, analogy they're using, that their rights are more important than American citizens' rights.
Right. But
that's where I don't get how they could have a platform and be legitimized by different groups. That's
well, do you think they have a right to protest when they aren't supposed to be here in the first place?
Well, they can protest, but that doesn't mean that they can force us to capitulate. I mean, that's really what the goal is. It's, we're going to create so much chaos and we're going to unravel your stuff so bad that
right.
that you're going to just kowtow to us because we're obviously incredibly disruptive.
But see, the, thinking, that, wow, that voice, that their voice is heard, so it obviously has
That's
an
what I'm
impact.
Saying. They're given a voice and it's being heard,
right,
but it's not a legitimate voice in a way where they're using proper protocol and using the system itself to, because they usurped the system in the first place, and then they're gaming the system, and they want to game the system more.
Right.
So
you have a thing on here about improving the vetting.
What happened in Russia?
We'll talk about it later.
In the political bureau when they took over, you see what I mean?
Right.
That's what happened. You just have a louder voice, and everybody's gone. I mean, I'm not talking about Russia in particular. I'm not picking on Russia. They did it in China and Venezuela. And, you know, look what happened in Cuba. So, you know, you can go there and look at really nice cars that are in the 1950s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I'd go for a classic.
You know, what's progress to them? You know, they come to this country and they're afforded all these basic necessities that they wouldn't have in their own country.
Right.
So giving, well, you're saying schooling and housing and... they're under a lot of our government programs.
Gosh, I'm so glad he mentioned the cars.
Yeah.
The vehicles. It's perfect. Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, 1950 cars, 60 cars in Cuba, we'd sell them here for, you know, $70,000,
$80,000. Oh, I know it. So,
I mean, I like to get a hold of a 57 Chevy, a 3-speed 327.
Yeah, that's been a taxi in Cuba for the last 25 years. Hey, we've got to take a break. And
yeah, let's talk about the issue a little bit more.
Yeah, let's talk about, let's hit on the, you had mentioned in your article here, better vetting. So when we come back,
it's a humanitarian crisis that people aren't really looking at it from this angle. And I don't see any of the networks really addressing this particular issue and how to really handle it. And be in a real common sense direction and making sure people are really protected. If people want families intact, don't use them as political pawns on one side of the aisle, you know. Use them as how you really want them treated and how they're going to get here in the first place.
Exactly. If people would like to see that plan, we have it all posted for you online. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
All my friends will a lowrider.
Talking about,
yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah. I never thought about this song that way.
Huh?
But it seemed fitting. Okay, so now
here we are.
Yes,
and we're in El Salvador now, right?
Here we are.
We're in Guatemala and Honduras, and you're persecuted. You want to get out of there. You want to seek refugee status or asylum. And what do? Well, you take off
river?
And you make that big trek towards the United States, 1,000-mile trek. So that sounds pretty ominous, you know. And then if you're a young one, you know, you're a teenager, you want to get out, you go on your own sometimes. But what's your family going to say? What's your family? What are their responsibilities? You know, we got to think of a lot of things that are going on that are not just right, but there's a whole series of human rights violations and problems that exist, that these kids are being put out, and so are the women, and so are the families. So that's what everybody's protesting about. But what's a logical step and a practical step to take care of it? You know, that's something that has to be done through Mexico and through effort through the United Nations, and make sure that these areas, which we call failed states maybe, where there's terrorism or heavy, you know, transnational gang activity, it needs to be directly addressed. It's been going on for 20 years. And it's ridiculous as it seems, but the answer can be as simple as setting up a secure route for them to travel and register in the country so they can get through. And
right.
Then they could make sure that they know people are coming to the U.S. borders.
But they got to know prior. Excuse me. That part's great, but I think what you're saying is before they leave, they've got to make some kind of
plan
with the.
They have to pre-register with the U.S. consulate or the embassy.
Yeah, so that when you get to the border, they know you're coming, and you come in, and then you can go through the process.
That should but be like using an immigration system.
Yeah, you can't just mob the border and then...
But that's what they do, or they skip the border process and they sneak in.
Right.
So this is a way to have a uniform process with the Mexican government in order to substantiate a reasonable way to protect people so there's no human... rights violations or humanitarian crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the proper and fitting way to do this. I was sponsoring a soccer team. I don't know if you remember the big problems we're having in Ukraine. We're having an international soccer tournament in Chicago, so I went to Senator Kirk's office and I ended up talking to people in Ukraine about supporting the team to come over. So we had the team coach, team captains, and all the kids get together and file with the consulate and then the embassy to come over to the United States so they can participate
right.
in a soccer tournament.
And that's the right way to do it. That way, you know, everybody knows you're going to be here. Everybody knows who you are and what here for.
What you're here for, and you have the right documentation to bring with you.
Mm-hmm.
So my other point is those who are criminals will not want to enter that system. Because they need to know where they live, what they're doing, and what the reason is for coming here.
Right. Do you think that's something Mexico is receptive to as far as making that safe
that's
corridor?
That's something that should be done, as I was calling increased cooperation between the Mexican and U.S. authorities, so they can have a safe area of travel all the way through, from north to south.
Right.
Well, let's do it the other way, from south to north, because that's where from El Norte they call it. So, I'm beside myself because I grew up in the Mexican community in Chicago. Everybody's outraged, you know?
Right.
They're worried about the drug cartels in Mexico, the families here. The women are carrying around shotguns to protect themselves from the cartels. This is true.
Well, I noticed on the article you had there, one of the stats was 80% of the women and girls that travel on that route are raped.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
It's 2015.
Run it in line so we can make sure we cover all the points so the American public can know how there's a practical and sensible way to address this so President Trump can work with Mexico to make sure there's a safe route with checkpoints. Remember, it says checkpoints, and you can find out where they're at, how they're getting there, you know, if they're being undermined, usurped, you know, getting through the systems. The people have to be protected all the way through. Like I said, from the south all the way up to the north. And there's systems that can do it, you know. And today everybody has phones. You can call in stuff. You can we call it crowdsourcing, how we do national security. And that can all be put online for all these people who are coming through. If the media can cover it, and you can see them jumping on trains and people helping them, you know, and this can all be done in a proper and fitting way for safety and security. So we can call it a safety and security first initiative for the humanitarian crisis that's happening in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. And that could be done with the Mexican government. It's pretty straightforward, to the point, and the Congress should have been working on this, and if they don't, then I don't understand why they're not reaching out to Mexico, and, you know, the president can do that, too. He's just got elected. He's only been in, you know, a year and a half. So.
Right.
And they dumped this on his, lap. That's his problem. But it's been going on for 30 years. Porous borders, and Chuck and I worked on a secure, America's First Act of borders. But nothing substantive has been done for the enforcement side of it. So if we were talking earlier about enforcement, Chuck and I were looking at different things and how to do it. But the first thing is you got to make sure that people coming through who are seeking asylum and refugees are people who are going to come through the legal ports of entry. And that's when you put up the wall and say, here it is. Everybody else has come through the other way who need to be here illegally. It'll be all the criminals in these countries that want to come through. You know, they don't want to, you know, check in if they have a previous offense. People who are working for the cartels, you know, they're going to lap a couple kids onto them and say they're a family.
Right.
Been doing this for years. Now it's even more so because the way to make money has increased for the cartels. It's tens of billions of dollars for them. And, you know, it's over $100 billion a year. So, but I'm talking about in terms of what they can do, how they can do it, and how they get their drugs across. You know, so it doesn't matter to them. They'll just leave the kids on the side and get the drugs across, and then they're in. And where do those kids turn up? In our, you know, centers.
Right.
So there they are, and then they got to be, you know, taken care of. There's nothing wrong with that, but then the kids are off by themselves, and we're talking about teenagers and, you know, younger children.
So how, I guess...
You can see how insidious this is.
Absolutely, but how do you prove, when somebody comes across with a couple of kids from Honduras or someplace, you know, some...
Say they're from Honduras, first of all. All right, they might be the cartel.
Okay, so...
Or they can be criminals from the MS-13.
But how do you
bring in kids across?
But how do you prove that they're a family or prove they're not a family? I mean, they don't carry birth certificates.
Check them in their respective embassies and consulates in the country. That's one way to lessen that problem.
Right. But do they have any kind of paperwork to even prove who they are?
Yeah, they live in the country. They have, you know, same as we do.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they know where they live. We knew where all those kids were and who their homes were. They were living in Ukraine, you know, and the coach, you know, they make sure they got it, and then they walked into the embassy. All the kids came in together. You know?
Right. Well, I was just thinking on some of these.
Said, no, you go with the other person.
Some of these third world countries, you don't know where they were born or if they're born at home or if they're, you know. So I just didn't know if there was a way.
There's also criminal elements in these countries too, and they want to come in, so they can, you know, game the system and saying they're bringing their families. I'm talking about just the regular criminal elements.
Right.
And that's something that needs to be addressed because they probably won't go through the embassy, that's what I'm saying, or the consulate. So if we can narrow some of the ways where people are gaming the system, I'm not just talking to cartels, I'm talking about regular people in these countries and then other people who are criminals. And other people are related to, you know, other, you know, people want to get through. We just want to get out of the country, not legitimately, you know. there's a way to tailor it through a proper and fitting vetting process at our U.S. embassies and consulates. And then work with Mexico to have a safe route through where there's checkpoints. And you can make sure these people who have these papers through our embassy are being checked through entirely until they get to the U.S. border.
Yeah, I think that's a great plan. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better than what they got going on down there right now. I saw the other day where they were saying that Tijuana is just being overrun with tens of thousands of people trying to cross the border. And,
right.
you know, you think about that, and, I mean, where do these people, you know, where do you house them? Where do they, how do you feed them when you get that big of an onslaught of
well,
people?
Well, Tijuana is a big Sinaloa cartel stuff, you know, so
right.
they're just afraid.
But right.
That's the Mexican government's responsibility, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a human rights problem with the Mexican government.
Right.
Not taking care of their own people.
Right, yeah. I don't know how they can turn their back and how they can make that our responsibility when they're on that side of the border.
There you go.
So
that's one of the points. There's probably 32 of these points we can talk about on the radio, but I'm trying to keep it simple. You know, the cartels are causing much of the problem internally, causing people to become destitute, lose their farms, you know, things of that nature, or the restaurants, and then they gotta, you know, find other means and go to other parts of the state, you know, Michoacan or someplace, and try to make a living. So, like I'm saying, the women in some of these areas are protecting themselves with shotguns from the cartels. These are people who are normal people who want a normal lifestyle. So what we're talking about, there's a great turmoil taking place in Mexico itself that's out of control because of the cartel's influence and power and the huge amounts of money, you know, they have. So the Mexican government has to come to terms with that, and with the United Nations, they should come to terms with that, as well as we can work with them to make sure there's a safe route to help certain people that need to get through for refugee status and asylum.
Well, at the end of the day, everybody who's unhappy in their own country for whatever reason, they're not all going to be able to come here. I mean, we can't solve the world's problems by importing everyone who's not happy.
El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, and say, we're going to help out there. Make sure that people can stay in their own country.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Who's helping out Mexico?
Well, I think at this point, we sort of are in our own strange way.
Years, but, I mean, it's the drug cartels now that have, and arms running, they do both, and prostitution and things of that sort. But it's a larger problem that has grown in size and dollar volume. Years ago, it wasn't billions and billions of dollars. They were getting close to billions of dollars. Now we got tens of billions of dollars in cartels, and you add all the cartels up, you got hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, that's a lot of money to throw around and manipulate people around, you know, and
sure.
People coming through that are normal people with they might have a official status. They'll go with the cartel to make extra money to get on the other side, and they'll bring a cartel person with them.
Yeah, that's it.
You got to make sure at the starting point they don't get pulled into a cartel. I think the system can be made where that can prevent some of that from happening. You're not going to prevent all of it.
No.
There's going to be corruption all the time.
But it's incentivized at this point.
We're trying to mitigate, you know, the problems that exist. You're not going to eliminate it because
right. Everybody's
going to learn to game the systems, and that's just a normal course. There's a black market, right? There's underground economy, informal sectors. Lots of stuff is traveling with arms and drugs. But at least we could help people who want to live here and be part of the system and assimilate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I mean, there's a right way to do it, and it's really difficult.
There's an illegal, you know, black market way to do it.
Which right.
Yeah, right, which is a total mess.
Yeah.
When we have one more section of your outline to kind of cover here, and it looks like we might have run out of time, so we're going to come back with our guest, Bruce Moran, in just a couple of minutes. Need to celebrate a little capitalism for it. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Today.
I went for the theme.
Man.
See, we were talking about Mexico. I pulled all the right songs.
Looking for some Mexico songs. Yeah, that's great.
I was incentivizing you to help me next week.
Here, okay. And I'd like to take us into the violent acts against women and girls traveling to the United States via Mexico.
Sure.
That is one of the most outrageous things I've ever heard of. I mean, you know, I worked on the Assyrian Christian genocide, and this is kind of up there, getting close to that kind of a treatment of women and abuse. This was a 2015 figure. Before that, it was like 2013, 2014. It was 60%. It went up to 80% of the women traveling through Mexico. These are girls, too. The teenagers are raped. I think people should realize this.
That's unbelievable.
That is unfathomable.
Yeah, it is, totally.
And if we're looking at having a safe route, who are we going to protect if you have checkpoints to make sure these girls are still part of the traveling group, sure the women are still with them, going from the south to the north, El Norte. Make sure every person is not being taken off that route and use it by the cartels, used by people in the, you know, who are criminals in the areas. That is, to me, outrageous.
And again, it's going to be a terribly difficult task to achieve when you have that much money flying around down there to pay these people off to, you know,
keep just go steal them out of their traveling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
When you hop on the train, you hop on with them and just push them off. You know, then you got, you know, here they're used, they're raped, they're sold as prostitutes, they're trafficked and used in sex rings. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just as bad as the vulnerability of the kids. But nobody had really brought that up as an issue that's happening when you're coming from the South to the North to get into the United States. That is unbelievable. And the United Nations should deal with this as well. I mean, this is a human rights big issue. And it happens in the countries themselves. We're talking about El Salvador, you know, Guatemala and Honduras, but it's happening on the way through. So this kind of activity is just outrageous. And let's go to the last one. It's the children. The children are subject to the same thing. You know, pedophilia, all that. They're on the line. Some of them are coming across by themselves. So, and teenagers are traveling alone. What are we going to do?
Can't imagine sending your little kid.
How do we protect them?
There you go.
Exactly. How do you protect them?
There's the human rights part of the United Nations that's for protecting children and protecting young adults. But where are they now in terms of what's happening in this part of the world?
Well, don't they have to be invited into the country?
You hear mostly in Africa. You hear mostly in the Middle East.
Right.
But what's going on in Central America? What's going on in Mexico that nobody's paying attention to this? Why are they ignoring this issue? That's absurd.
So is that as far as the UN is concerned, can they, I mean, don't they have to be invited in by Mexico to help enforce the safety issue?
You have it in El Salvador. You have it in Honduras. You have the human rights violations going on there. They should be in there helping out. Full blast.
Yep. No, I agree.
That's why President Trump pulled his money from the UN for the Middle East, because they weren't supporting the Christians on the ground in Iraq, in the Nivea Plain region. I think he knew I worked on some of this, so I was beside myself since 2003, watching the persecution and the sidelining and strong-arming of Christians. In 2014, it happened to go into the genocide side of it, and where human rights were just tossed aside. And people are being crucified, roasted alive. Now look at the girls and the woman coming through from the Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador. They're facing the same kind of human rights violations. And it's just unfathomable. How come nobody's interceding here?
Well, and the one thing that we didn't get to particularly is, what about all the people who are not from South America? They're not from Mexico. They're not from South America. These are the
Middle Eastern.
These are the jihadi guys that are coming through that
That's
southern border.
Thing border security has to cover.
Yeah. So if we give preferential, I mean, the danger of preferential treatment to kids is that
since 9/11,
we're just going to talk at the same time. I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. Can we back up for a second and talk about ICE relationships?
We need to get rid of ICE.
Yeah, I learned that yesterday.
Yeah. Well, don't throw ICE away, man. It's hot over here. 1995. We need it to cool off.
We need all the ice we can get.
Yeah,
ICE part is a definite law and order need, and President Trump's absolutely right. President Trump says, we're not going to discontinue ICE. And, Bill, can you go into that? Because, you can talk about the functions of ICE. I had written them out.
I don't have it right here in front of me, Bruce, but I just...
He's busy twirling his headphone cord.
No,
he got busted during his foot twirling.
I've just been following
green bulk gas smuggling, commercial fraud, intellectual property theft, cyber crimes, human rights violations.
Oh, yeah, read that list.
Human smuggling and trafficking, immigration, document and benefit fraud, narcotics and weapons smuggling and trafficking, transnational gang activity, export enforcement, and, of course, the international art and antiquity theft.
Well, and then I hear the other day they said if we get rid of ICE, then somebody else will step in and do what they're doing. We really don't need them. Well,
no, that's absolutely not
that's
the case.
Lunacy. I mean, without
the
these guys.
FBI is shorthanded. There's
sure.
only 15,000 of them. People think we got numerous people.
Yeah.
ATF is shorthanded. We have to add more ATF on, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. They got to be on the border, too, to help out.
Sure.
You know, DEA. I mean, we're a population of 320 million, and we haven't really increased the enforcement capacity of our, you know, departments and agencies. So those people, they in and of themselves are shorthanded. You know, I think we're calling for another 7,000 to 10,000 more on the border. There's not enough people there to do what we need to do to enforce the laws.
No.
And this is ridiculous.
Well, you can't get... Well, I think it was it the NSA that we had prior to ICE? They did that same job. So to get rid of ICE... I mean, what do they want to do? Just change the initials? Because somebody's going to have to step in and pick
personnel
up.
Personnel that know what they're doing.
And it'll be the same people.
The people.
Right.
The beef the people have, and it's legitimate beef that some of them are insensitive, but most of them are not, you know. And if somebody makes a mistake, you know, it looks bad on everybody. But 99% of the border security people are not doing that. And some of these people are causing hassles to make border security to be more aggressive. Then they say the border security people are too aggressive. No, the people are antagonizing, intimidating, and those people are doing that should be called on the rug. That's why we say the law has to be written that if people are intimidating, harassing border security personnel or any agent or their family, they can get jail time. If they know that, they're not going to do that, and then you can't play double jeopardy with the border security people.
No.
I don't like the double jeopardy situation they're placed in at all. It's not right. They're just trying to do their jobs, and then people are going to harass them at their homes?
Right. Well, it's definitely not right when you have members of Congress going out and citing these people to go out and confront... You know, public servants for doing their job.
I mean, we should really say it before we run out of time that at the core of the bulk of this is a deep desire to get rid of our borders. They don't want it reformed. They don't want different people monitoring it. It isn't that they don't like ICE. It really isn't any of that. They really just don't want borders. Because when you get right down to the crux of their argument, they just think that borders are a big pain. Anybody should be able to just waltz in whenever they want. I don't know how that works in their perfect world, but...
it doesn't work anywhere else in the world.
No,
it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Well, so how can they...
That's why the argument is so illogical, and that's why we can't... That's why like A to B logic people can't wrap their mind around it. Hey,
you're
Bruce, we are flat out of time with you today. I cannot believe it. We blew an hour and... 60 minutes. Look at that.
When I saw we only had an hour with you, Bruce, it's like there's just no way we're going to cover what we want to cover in an hour.
We did fit in La Bamba, the Cisco Kid, and Cross the River.
God bless you guys. I want to say hello to the people in Ukraine. Yes, we did help bring the Ukrainian soccer team, where we're trying to get them over here. I think subsequent years they came over. So we have an international soccer tournament in Chicago, and they come from 20 to 28 different countries to play soccer here. So.
That's great.
And we're in the news.
That's great.
All right, you're listening to We the People. We're coming right
Thanks,
back.
Thanks, Bruce.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.